Mark chapter 4, our focus this morning is in verse 21 through to 25. Let's read it together and then we will reflect on it. Also, he said to them, "Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." Then he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." Continue in our study of the Gospel of Mark. A couple of weeks ago, we began to consider the fourth chapter, which, as you know, begins with the parable of the sower. In our consideration of that parable, we observed two things, namely, the things that hinder us from hearing and profiting from the word, namely, Satan, trials, and the cares of the world. We also looked at the things that can help us to hear and to profit from the word, namely, preparing our hearts, paying attention to what we hear, and accepting the word. And the proof of effective hearing we saw last week, the proof of effective hearing of the word is in the fruit we produce. The fruit we produce. This morning, I would like us to go on to reflect on Mark 4, 21 through to 25. Some commentators refer to this section of God's word as the parable of the lamp and the measure. There are others who don't necessarily refer to it as a parable. But whether it is a parable or not, what is clear about it is that it is intended to enforce the parable of the sower on the attention of those who heard it. For this reason, it needs to be understood as connected to the parable of the sower. If the parable of the sower was pressing the importance of careful hearing of God's word, we can be certain that this parable too is about the way we hear the word of God. Note that both parables carry the refrain, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The parable of the sower mentions that in verse 9, and this parable mentions it in verse 23. But what about hearing? What about that? Does this parable specifically underline? There are three things, I believe. The first is the importance of hearing and considering well what we hear. This, of course, is what is being emphasized here in verse 23. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Let him hear. It is also what is being emphasized at the beginning of verse 24, when the Lord says, "Take heed what you hear. This is a point to which our Lord evidently attaches weight. We have seen it already brought out in the parable of the sower, and here we see it enforced in these two remarkable expressions. The first statement, that is to say, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear, seems to be emphasizing the fact that we must use our ears to particularly listen to matters of the kingdom. There is so much else we must hear. But this is particularly important. The matters of the kingdom are particularly important, and we must use our ears to hear that. There is a way of hearing that does not understand. Chapter 4, verse 12 makes that clear. The Lord Jesus Christ, quoting from Isaiah 6, which I read from earlier on, speaks about those who may hear and not understand. There is a way of hearing that does not understand. Jesus, here in Mark 4, is calling for a hearing that really listens and really understands and therefore bears fruit. The second statement, that is to say, take heed what you hear, seems to be emphasizing the need to look into. Now, that is what taking heed means here. To look into, to see what we hear with an intent and earnest contemplation. So it's not just, if you like, an ordinary hearing. It's a hearing that is earnest. It is a hearing that is intentional. It is a hearing that calls for contemplation. That is what to take heed means. Now, why would the Lord be so burdened to emphasize this? Why would he be so burdened to emphasize this to his disciples and to us all? Well, first of all, it was because he was speaking in parables, after all. In Mark 4 and verse 12, Jesus spoke about his practice of concealing his messages within parables. There were many who heard the Lord. They heard what he said, but did not understand, could not understand, because the message the Lord was communicating was concealed. Nevertheless, his parables were meant to be understandable. They were meant to be understood. And those who have ears must pay attention in order to see the message of the parables. They must look intently. And with the help of God, the Holy Spirit, if they look, if they see, if they ponder, if they contemplate, they will see the truth the parables are conveying. If you like to use the language of verse 11, they will see the mystery of the kingdom of God. And mystery there doesn't mean something that cannot be understood, something that can never be understood. It means a revealed truth. It was kept hidden and has now been revealed. And there is much about the kingdom that had been kept hidden. And even here, at the time the Lord Jesus Christ lived here on earth, there was much that was being kept hidden. But, if you look at verse 11, The Lord says, to you disciples, it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. So it could be understood, couldn't it? It could. The mystery could be understood. And what was the mystery here? I think Mark 4 verse 21 gives us an idea of that which had been hidden. It was somewhat still being hidden, but to those it had been given to know the mystery, it's been revealed. And what was the mystery? Well, it is what the Lord refers to as the lamp. Note that in verse 21. Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? I think it should actually read or be translated, the lamp has come. Should it be put under a basket or under a bed? Now, this is not very plain in the New King James Version, and I think this translation is somewhat unfortunate. Yes, if you are a student of Greek, you will know that it is put in the passive form, but that passive is deponent. It's passive, but it must be interpreted in the active voice. The lamp has come. And because it is to be interpreted that way, the lamp here probably refers to Christ himself. To Christ himself. He has come. He is here. He could not conceal himself forever. Those who look, those who search intently will see him, even in these parables, even through these parables. The lamp has come. He was teaching in parables, so they must pay attention in order for them to understand. Another reason the Lord would have been burdened to encourage hearing is that hearing truth is one principal avenue through which grace is conveyed to the soul of man. We know the text well. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. Faith comes by hearing. And it comes specifically by hearing the word of God. There are many Christians, perhaps churches, who are not emphasizing this. They are emphasizing seeing, watching a drama, watching some performance. They are emphasizing that above the word. Hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing. One of the first steps toward conversion is to receive from the Spirit a hearing ear. Seldom, very, very seldom, are men brought to repentance and faith without hearing. Very seldom. Are they brought to repentance by seeing a vision? Or just dreaming? Seldom. Often, this is the norm. It's by hearing and hearing the word. Did you hear the word when you came to Christ? Did you? It's Paul in Romans 10 who said, how can they call upon him whom they have not heard? And yet there are people who say sinners' prayers, and they haven't even heard a message of the gospel. A man of God leads them through a sinner's prayer. He hasn't even preached to them. How can they call upon him whom they have not heard? Jesus knew that well. Paul knew that well. When he speaks to the Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 13, he describes them as those who trusted after that they had heard the word of God. Here, in truth, is one principal avenue through which grace is conveyed to the soul of man. Did you hear? Have you heard? The second point I want to underline is the importance of not only receiving the word, but revealing it to others. Revealing it to others. Verse 21, the lamp has come. Well, the lamp has come. What shall we do with him? The answer to the rhetorical question in verse 21 suggests that we must not put him under a basket or under the bed. Verse 21 asks, is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? We mustn't do that. To put a lamp under the bed does not serve any purpose, or does it? Anybody here keep your lamp under the bed? Unless you like doing your reading under there. Doesn't make much sense, does it? Of course it doesn't. The purpose of the lamp is to shine and to give light. And so if you cover it in some way, you are defeating its purpose. And so the Lord says at the end of verse 21, is it not to be set on a lampstand? On a lampstand? In the same way, to know Christ, who is the lamp, who is the light of the world. To know him and only hide him in our hearts and keep him in our closets, or in our families, or in our churches. We know him, we love him, but we keep him there. It's as if we were keeping him in a basket or under a bed. We keep him there. We are not fulfilling the purpose of having light. We must put him in a place where he can be seen and where he can be heard. We must put him on a lampstand. Revelation chapter 2, end of chapter 1 and chapter 2, refers to the churches as lampstands, the seven lampstands. Why are they lampstands? They hold forth the light, the word of God. They hold forth Christ. Who is that word? We are to put him in a place where he can be seen, where he can be heard. This is another way of speaking about our responsibility as individuals and as a church to send the light of Jesus to those who are in darkness. We all have friends and neighbors, children even, nieces and nephews, cousins, brothers and sisters who are not converted, who are in the light, in the darkness rather. We must send the light to them. We must share that light we have, that light we have seen, that light we have come to understand with them. He says in verse 22, "For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed. Whatever is hidden is meant to be disclosed, and whatever is concealed is meant to be brought out in the open." The coming of God's kingdom in the person of Christ is meant to be revealed. There was a time, even during the time Christ lived here on earth, when it would have been inappropriate to reveal him. Indeed, it was appropriate for the Lord himself to keep his identity a secret. If he had revealed himself right at the beginning of his ministry, he might have been killed. Herod was seeking to kill him even while he was in the womb of his mother Mary. Had he been revealed early, he might have been killed. He needed to be revealed at the right time. And so during that period when he was hiding his identity and he would perform a miracle, for example, he kept counseling the people not to tell who he was. But when the right time came, he began to reveal. That which was concealed needed to be brought out. He began to speak clearly about who he was. He spoke plainly to the disciples in the upper room the night he was arrested. In John 16, verse 29 through to 30. He spoke clearly about who he was. During his trial, when the high priest charged him, "Tell us plainly if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Now he knew that telling it plainly would be the way to swiftly and quickly go to the cross. It would have been an opportunity for him to deny it, but it was time to reveal it. It was no time to conceal it or to hide it. And so Jesus replied, "Yes, it is as you say," in Matthew 26, verse 63 to 64. The lamp has come. The lamp has come. Now that Jesus has come, Jesus has died, Jesus is risen, there is no reason to keep it a secret any longer. In fact, it is wrong for us to keep it a secret. God calls us to be witnesses to Christ, for Christ, to testify that he is the Son of God, that he is the perfect Son of Man who conquered sin and Satan and who is able to save us completely to the uttermost. We are not to put that lamp under the bow or under the bed. We are to put it on the lampstand for everyone to see. We need to let the light shine into the world. Is that what you are doing? Is that what we are doing? Are you being a lampstand? Are we being a lampstand as a church? Are you doing that? Or have you, to use the language of J.C. Ryle, are you being content with laziness? I do nothing Christianity. Is that your Christianity? You care nothing concerning what happens to others as long as you are going to heaven yourself. Is that your kind of Christianity? Are you keeping the word under the bed? Well, one day, Jesus will return from heaven. Then, he will really be out in the open. Well, now he's in heaven. We don't see him. He's everywhere, but we don't see him. Well, then we will see him. Every eye will see him, including those who pierced him. And you know what? When he appears, he will bring into the open whatever you are reluctant or unwilling to do. He will bring into the open your unwillingness to stand for him, to bear witness to him, to be unashamed about him. He will bring that into the open. He will remove it from your closet, wherever it is you may be hiding it. And you will stand before him to give an account of what you are doing with the lamp. How will you answer? Will you be ashamed? You don't have to face that embarrassment. You now have the opportunity. Even now, go to your neighbor. Go to the streets. Go to the parks. Tell them about Jesus. In your own home, tell your children about Jesus. Tell the members of your household about Jesus. Do it. The world may not have found a cure for the COVID-19 and other maladies as yet. But go and tell them that you have found an unfailing remedy for the virus that has, from the time they were conceived to this very moment, been plaguing their souls and keeping them away from God and baptizing them into sin, into wickedness. Tell them that you have a remedy, and that remedy is called Christ. Tell them about it. And that brings us to our third and final point, which is on the importance of a diligent use of the means of grace. Take a look at verse 24 as well as 25. Then he said to them, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away." I thought hard about these two verses and read several commentaries, and found one useful commentary written by a Zambian man called Paul Kayumba, very enlightening, I found. But you find, as you read these words, that many use them, their belief that if they have faith, a lot of faith, they will be given more. They will have more money, and more houses, and more lands, and more spiritual power. And that if you don't have faith, you will have nothing. But that is not what this text is about. This text is about hearing. It's connected to the parable of the sower, which is about hearing. It encourages hearing well. These two verses are similar to verses 11 and 12, which the Lord uses, of course, to explain the parable of the sower. And what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying is that those who want to hear more and know more and produce more fruit to use the language of Paul, Kayumba. They come with a giant measuring cup. Okay? You want more, so you come with a big cup. And because you've come with a big cup, you want more. You are given more. It's like hearing Jesus' message as the disciples did, the 12 did. And they've heard along with everyone else, but they want more. And so they go to Jesus in verse 10 and asked him about the parable. They want to hear more. And so the Lord Jesus Christ gives them more. Well, those who want to hear little come with a small jug, a small measuring cup, a tiny cup, because they only want to receive a little. And because their cup can only take so much, they only receive a little. And so they understand a little and produce a little. There are also those who have nothing. They have nothing. We are told in verse 25, but whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. This goes back to the parable of the sower and to the people represented by the seeds in the bad soils. They heard God's word. They rejected it for various reasons. The seed on the path was taken away. The seed in the shallow soil sprung up quickly, but it had no root and soon withered away. The seed that was planted on thorns, it sprouted, but eventually was choked and produced nothing. Similar to these people, they don't even have a measuring cup. They are not expecting to receive anything. They don't want to receive anything. And so they go away with nothing. So what is of primary importance then is that we have the right perspective on the word and the right attitude toward the word. I'll just take a couple of minutes to unpack that, and then we'll come to a close. Regarding the right perspective, this is what I believe the Lord is emphasizing. We must recognize the important place that the Word of God occupies in our lives. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that flows from the mouth of God." The Word of God is life. Paul said to the Thessalonians, "Despise not prophesyings," which of course involved the reception and delivery of God's word as it was received. Do not despise it. Paul said to Timothy, this is now a word to preachers, "Preach the word. Preach the word. If you didn't do anything else," and the church does have to do other things too, "but if you didn't have to do anything else, it must not be the word that you didn't have to do. The word must be preached." We must recognize its importance in our lives. And regarding the attitude, Jesus is emphasizing through this parable that we must take heed what we hear. We must pay attention to it. We must look into it. We must see what we hear with an intent and with earnest contemplation. those that give diligent attention to the word benefit. There are people who come to church, but they never hear. They never hear. They're always standing outside the building. And they are talking to others while the preaching ministry is going on. They never hear. One of the dangers of a virtual service, we are listening in the context of our homes, is that there are so many distractions there. And we don't hear as we must. You walk out, you walk in, and you pretend to be hearing, but you are doing a host of other things as well. That's the danger we can face during this time. We must take heed. We must concentrate. We must contemplate. We must look intently into the word. That is what yields spiritual progress. Those who hear less don't make much progress. But those who are diligent, you can see it in their lives. And then, secondly, we must put into practice what we hear. We must put into practice what we hear. If you exercise your muscles regularly, they will be strengthened. Even so, you must practice what you hear. Jesus says, with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. If you want more, you'll be given more. If you only take a little of God's word, you may benefit a little, but not very much. But if you want more and look for more, you'll be given it. And the result will be a wonderful spiritual life. So let me conclude in this way. We must value the word of God in our lives. We must hear more and more of that word in order to make spiritual progress. We must practice more and more of the word. But let me end on this note. We must lift the lamp, not put it under the bed, not put it in a basket, not leave it in our closets. We must lift the lamp. We must bear witness to Christ. We must reveal him in our lives. We must reveal him in our words. If we don't do that, there is no benefit. There is loss in this life and probably in the life to come. Therefore, take heed what you hear. Let us pray. Father, we pray that we would take to heart this call that comes ringing o'er the restless wave. The call to send the light. The call to rescue souls. The call to bring to heaven those who are wallowing in the mire of sin. Move us, we pray, to hear the call, to answer the call, to act the call. And help us, each one. Help those who are timid. They desire to win souls, but they can't find it in their hearts to do it. Help those who do not know what to do. Those who are ignorant, they have a desire, but they do not know what to do. Help those who are desirous. They are mature Christians. They know. They want to do more. Help them. Help us, each one, to rise to the occasion. Not to keep the light to ourselves, but to share it, to spread it abroad. And now may he who is your light, your strength, your song and cornerstone, prepare you for the fiercest drought and storm. Quiet your fears and cease your strivings, that you may know the heights of his love and the depths of his peace. May he who is lamp help you to send the light. Amen.